Herrenstein, Eliezer Mordechai, for opening up their home for our learning. And I always say that one of the greatest brachas that has come over the years is the fact that we are able to meet new chevra, make new friends outside of our immediate neighborhood, and the mysterious nefesh of Miriam and her husband Eliezer Mordechai for our shul. The mysterious nefesh is really something which is quite remarkable, and we certainly have hakaras hatov. The subject that we're going to be talking about, and by the way, I see there are some people that were by my wife's here this morning, and I have to tell you, it's amazing. I don't know how you do it. It's really amazing that you should have such a love of Torah and a love of learning. It's inspiring, you know. It's very, very inspiring. And Hashem should give you all the strength to be able to learn Torah and to grow in learning together with your families, and to have the kreiches to take care of your families also. The inyan that we're talking about is not going to be something that we could do in two classes. Generally, in the past, last year, what we were doing was that we were going to shiurim for a unit, and then we went through the year like that, covering a number of different topics. This topic is even though I'm going to be doing it as quickly as possible, it's so extensive that it's definitely going to take, at least I figure it's going to take 3 or 4 shiurim. So it'll be this month, and we'll continue with Hashem the next month. And that's another reason why there was pressure on me to tape. Usually I don't tape these shiurim, but there was some pressure to tape them. It's difficult for some people to make it on certain nights. There'll be mitzvah Shem Simchas, different things. So in order that each person should be able to have a hemshech, to be able to continue to go through the subject, so they're going to be taped, and the shul will provide copies of the tapes. it's such an important inyan, and it's something which is so close to my heart, and the reason I decided to talk about it is because around 1/3 of the phone calls that I get are questions about names. Naming the child, the name on the ksuba, a grandfather, a grandmother, and how do we bring that neshama into the children, into our lives, and so on. It's such an important subject, and I have found growing up that I know that I never really heard any discussions about these things, and there were many questions that I had, and I still have. And seeing that it's something that so many people are not only fascinated by, but are extremely, extremely have a very extreme need, urgent need, to understand on a deeper level in order to connect to a husband, to a wife, to children, to parents and grandparents. So I decided, okay, let's learn the inyan properly. Let's try to talk about it. I must warn you that this is a subject that it's not purely halachic, and therefore there will be varying opinions. It's not purely halachic. It's not like talking about the kitchen on Shabbos. Right? It's not like talking about even a subject like Hachnasas Orchim, which we spoke about last year, or visiting the sick, or taking in guests, and so on. They're more halachically oriented, obviously with some degree of hashkafa, but they're more halachically oriented than this subject of names. Because the underlying sensitivities are Kabbalistic. There's no question about it. However, the subject of names has a tremendous influence over halacha as well. And we have to discuss a little bit, by way of introduction, some of the concepts, again, not in Kabbalah, but on a level that people like us can be comfortable with, in order to have a real appreciation of where the poskim are coming from, about the different customs, and how do these halachas develop. Mostly in the area of ritual observance, it's largely halachic with hints in Kabbalah. Here, it's largely Kabbalistic with halachic hints. So it's really very interesting. And we're limited in what we can do, and I think that initially during the summer I decided I would learn this inyan, and I think there was enough, what I was working on was enough to give a shiur each day of the year for an entire year on the subject. And a lot of it had to do with trying to cut back and trying to work it out, that it should be something that would be useful for us, and not to go into areas that might not be where we should go. So we have a lot to learn, and it's a fascinating thing. And maybe, Mitzvah Hashem, if we have time, I shouldn't have time. We'll do another time, another shiur. maybe, you know, it would be good to go through some of the names and maybe to go over most commonly used names. And even if our chevra here, if a list would be submitted of all the Hebrew names, and then we could talk about maybe some of them. But I'll think about whether that's what we should do, but perhaps we'll be able to do that at the end. So let's begin. Let's begin. One can't even enter into the magnificent world of Jewish names without starting with the writings of the Arizal, our holy master, the Ari HaKadosh, in the Shar HaGilgulim. The Ari HaKadosh has an entire sefer on the subject of Gilgulim, of where we come from, where we've been, and how that works. Let me read to you a sentence. You don't have this in front of you. I'll read to you a sentence from the writings of the Holy Ari. V'hashem shekaron lo aver v'imo be'eth shenimol, the name that a father and mother call the child at the bris, in the case of a girl, by the aliyah, when whoever it is that's going to give the name, hopefully with God's help, the father will give the name at the Sefer Torah, going up in aliyah. When that name is given, the Arizal said, hu nichtav lamala b'kisei hakavod. When the parents give the name below in this world, that name is inscribed on the throne of Hashem's glory above. V'kachu nikru lamala. And that's how that person is going to be forever referred to in the higher world, based upon what the parents called the child in this world. Ki ein hadover b'ikroi. The Arizal said this is not a matter of coincidence. The name that the parents give a child is not a matter of coincidence. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazmin oso Hashem b'fi aviv v'imo. Hashem actually is mazmin that name. Hashem prepares that name and on some level divinely inspires the parents to draw that name into the world. Shikru'u Kain, that they should call the child by this name. V'lachein, therefore we find that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yeshua, badku b'shema. Therefore you find in Chazal that in order to understand the nature of human beings and different circumstances of their lives, that great tzaddikim and chachamim of the Gemara would look into their names, would check their names and study the names of those individuals. Also, the Arizal writes that it's eino bekroi, that this is certainly not a coincidence. Ki im HaKadosh Baruch Hu meisim b'fiv Hashem Ahu. Because if Hashem has placed that name into the mouths of the parents, hamuchroch el haneshama hehi, it must be that that soul must have that name, that that particular neshama requires that particular name. Kama shekosev, as it says in the pasuk, asher sam shamos baaretz, which Chazal say asher sam shemos baaretz, which means that Hashem has determined the names of the inhabitants of the earth. So the way that Arizal understood that is that even though we are mortal human beings, and we might, until the last minute, many times in naming a child until right before the bris, or right before the aliyah, the parents can't decide, and there's a commotion about this, and of course the grandparents are making their bids in their own subtle or not so subtle way, right? They should all be well. So till a moment before, it's not clear what's the name, what's going to be the name, and then all of a sudden, this is the name. And very often, the parents are extremely uncomfortable with the name until it's given. The Arizal taught that this is something which is divinely inspired, that the name must fit the neshama. Now we're going to talk about, there are many, many questions that come up about, if God forbid someone's sick, adding a name. We can talk about changing name. What happens if a person gave a name and then regrets terribly this name? And chas v'chalila, the person sees that there's tzaras or bad mazel or something like that, and can we tamper with the names? We're going to talk about all these issues in halacha, and how it affects misha berachs and all the tefillas and brachas. We're going to get to all of these things. But this is what Arizal said. Rabbi Tzadok HaKoin from Lublin, the great Hasidic master, who passed away in 1900, Rabbi Tzadok wrote, Ki adur ki shmos hadvarim kulam. Rabbi Tzadok says it is known that the names of everything, Yesh lahem tam lefi ha'inyan, everything's name in the world, even inanimate objects. We're just going through Sefer Bereshit. We just finished Parshat Bereshit. Even animals, inanimate objects, the names are meaningful. The names are meaningful. Reb Tzadik says, Yesh lahem tam lefi ha'inyan. In other words, in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, it's not just conventional, some sort of a usage of a word Like, how did a table become a table? Or how did a ceiling become a ceiling? In Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, the Shulchan, Shin Lamed Ches Nun, we'll talk more about this, that is exactly what a table is, the configuration of those letters, and what those letters mean. What those letters mean in terms of the gematria of a Shin, 300, Lamed 30, Ches 8, and Nun 50. What those letters mean in terms of the specific order. Why is it Davka in that order? What other words can you see in that word? All of that is not just conventional use or linguistics or the way languages in general develop, which is also in this week's parasha, right, by the Tower of Babel and the development of other languages. Rashi says that originally everybody spoke Lashon HaKodesh, Hebrew. That was the original language. Hebrew is not a matter of conventional language that develops in different places and so on. Lashon HaKodesh is the actual thing itself. I just mentioned recently that before the Baal HaTanya was Nifter, I mentioned in Shul last week that when the Alter Rebbe was Nifter, the last few moments before he passed away, so he was with his grandson, the famous Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, and the Alter Rebbe was staring at the ceiling, and his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, said, Zayde, what is it? So the Tanya said, what do you see? And the Tzemach Tzedek said, he sees the Kaira. Kaira means the beams. Kufa of Reish Hei is a beam. And the Alter Rebbe said, I don't see any more of the beams, I only see the letters, Kuf, Vav, Resh, Hei. And the Tanya looked everywhere, and he didn't see any more his grandson's face, only the letters, Menachem Mendel. He could no longer see things, only letters. The last moment of his life. When he had that clarity as he was entering into the world of truth, where everything is names, everything is letters. So Reb Tzadik says, V'avuhan dekulu, now there's a principle in general. Anytime, the first time something is found in Tanakh, when you see something for the first time in Tanakh, that is the father, that is the root and the source of all that follows. The first use of a word in Tanakh is the most important. Because then you could see, if you understand what it means in the context of its first usage, then you understand the depth of that word. So Rabbi Tzadik says that Va'avuhun Dekulu, where's the first time that we see this, where we see a name, a naming taking place in Tanakh? We just had it. Lezos Yikari Isha Kimi Ish Lukacha. Right? She is called Isha, woman. Kimi ish lukacha, she was taken from the ish, from the man. And then the Torah says, Chava, she's named, then he named her Chava, which is amazing, because he called her that name, Chava, which itself is a remarkable name. He called her Chava, Davka, after the entire episode of the chait of the sin, and the expulsion and so on. The first thing that Adam HaRishon actually did in response to the tragedy of what took place as a result of his and her mistake, the first thing he did was he gave a name to his wife. He gave a name to his wife. Ki hi haisa eim kol chai, because she is the mother of all life. Now what's interesting here, Reb Tzadik is telling us the first place where we find a name given in Tanakh is Chava, which is significant. Isha, kimi ish lukacha, so it's very much connected, therefore the Indian of names and naming is more intimately connected to a woman. And this is the first actual name, ki hi haisa eim kol chai. So Rabbi Tzadik says, ki lo nikra shum dover al derech es damin bilvad. Rabbi Tzadik says, there isn't anything in the world whose name is just happens to be in Hebrew. There's no such thing that just happens to be. Rak l'siba me Hashem. It's a cause. There's some reason from Hashem that everything, that something has that particular name. Therefore, the Zohar Kodesh, the Zohar says that Kriyas Hashem, giving a name, is a level of prophecy and Ruach HaKodesh. When you give a name, it's one of the only experiences that you and I might have until Mashiach comes, where we have an actual taste on some level of divine inspiration, of prophecy. Giving a name is a level of Nevuah. The Zohar says a level of prophecy and is a taste of divine inspiration. Therefore, the Svarma Kedoshim say in many places, now this is something that I've mentioned many times, in general, those who know me know that I try to call everybody by the Hebrew name, although sometimes if I sense that the person is uncomfortable or for some reason it just developed as a habit from the beginning, so then I don't. But really, it's very important to use the Hebrew name, because the Svarma Kedoshim say that the Ikar HaChiyus Shel HaAdam, that means that the main source of a person's life energy, his energy to live, the neshama of a person, that its main way of refueling and of being energized is by being called by, is by the person being called by his name or her name. And it doesn't mean the English name. It means the Shem HaKadosh. It means the Shem Kodesh, the holy name in Hebrew. And therefore, the Svarim say that, now you could try this, but it might not work in your particular case for different reasons, but the Svarim say that when a person is sleeping, if you call the person by his or her Hebrew name, that will wake the person up fastest. More than anything else, if you call by the Hebrew name. Not if you say Jeff or Barbara or whatever, but if you say Yankel and Chaya, if you use the Hebrew name, why? So the Svarim say, because when you call a person by his or her Hebrew name, then what's taking place, which is the neshama, it even has the word shem in it, which we'll talk more about, name. The word neshama has the shin mem in it. When you call the person by the name, then what's happening is that the neshama is being aroused and awakened from its source of life, from the place of its source. And therefore, when you call a child by the his or her Hebrew name, you are tapping into the chiyus, to the life energy and force that originates from that child's neshama. You are giving health and you are giving chiyus to a child when you say Maisha or Sarah. And the same thing when we call ourselves by our Hebrew names and others call us by the Hebrew name, it is on some level, the Sfarim say, it's on some level Ma'ayr, it's awakening, it's tapping in, it's touching that energy source of the neshama that draws into that person's life additional chiyus. Therefore, the name that parents give to a child has a huge impact on the future of the child. For instance, just I'll give you an example. The name Rus. That name, Chazal tell us, was only that name would only be understood many years in the future, when her descendant, David, would be born. Chazal say that the word Rus, that name Rus, is that she would have a descendant, David, Sherivu, LaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Shiros, V'Sishbachos, who would satiate and delight Hashem with his songs and his praises. That was the name of Rus. In her own lifetime, it wasn't clear. What does this mean? What is the name Rus? What is that? So Chazal tell us that only generations later, so that child would be born, David, right? Rus was the Aim Shel Malchus, she was the mother of royalty, where she would see generations later a child, David, who comes from Rus, Sherivu, the Reish Vav, which is the root of the word Rus, that the Reish Vav means that he would satisfy, satiate, and fill Hashem, like Kosi Rivaya, fill Hashem up with songs and with praises. Now, what's particularly interesting here is that we have names of people whose parents weren't even Jewish. Whose parents were not even Jewish. Another example, Rachav, one of the more mysterious women in Tanakh. Rachav, who eventually married Yehoshua, she was, in the early part of her life, was an immoral woman. According to the simple pshat in Navi, she was an immoral person, and you recall that she was involved in helping the Jewish people enter into Eretz Yisrael and conquer Yericho. Subsequently, she eventually married Yehoshua. So her name, Rachav, Chazal say, Loma Nikra Shma Rachav. Why was she called Rachav? Now, that's what she was called from the time that she was a child. She was called Rachav. So Chazal say, She Naseis Rachava Bezchuyo. She became expansive. She became great in merit. Rachava, great and expanded in merit. What was her merit? She Yotzu Mimena Shiva Malachim Ushmona Neviim, because seven kings and eight prophets were among her descendants. Seven kings and eight prophets were among her descendants. So this woman who began in a very narrow life, in a very small and narrow life, Rachav, right, she expanded. Now that's why the word Rachav, I'm just going to explain for a second, the word Rachav, if used incorrectly, is the same letters as the word what? Cherev, which is a sword, which can destroy. Or Charev, which means what? Destruction, churban, right? When it's fixed, it becomes rachav or chaver, right? It becomes expansiveness, chaver, which means closeness and companionship. So we find this very often in the names, that the future reading of that name is hinging on the choices that person makes in life. But eventually, the deeper meaning of that name will materialize for better, or God forbid, for worse. But the entire essence of the person is contained in the name. Now here we're talking about, again, someone whose father was not Jewish. Nevertheless, Chazal say, this name was thrown into his mouth. It could be that this was the weirdest name in Yericho, that they all used Canaanite names, and there's this one girl whose name was Rachav. And this name was a name that, again, this is a question of some, that even a person, so you might think, well, I'm not worthy that I should have any nevuah, that I should have any Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration in naming my child. But that's not true, because even the parents of Rus and of Rachav, who weren't Jewish, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem implanted into those mouths, into those impure mouths, the names that in the future would materialize in the lives of these great people, and generations later. Therefore, another example is, according to the Zohar Kodesh and the Arizal, Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef, his neshama was nisabra. Yosef was nisabra, rather, the neshama of Yosef was impregnated with the neshama of his ancestor Yitzchak. According to the Zohar and Arizal, Yosef HaTzadik, and this had a lot to do with his greatness, was spiritually impregnated. That's a certain level of a type of a, it's not a Gilgal, but it's a certain type of a of an interfacing of souls. That the soul of Yitzchak, according to the Arizal and the Zohar, the soul of Yitzchak Avinu became part of Yosef HaTzadik. So the Arizal said that's why, and there's an ancient Kabbalah, this goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is not something that the Arizal and the Zohar were making up. Therefore, the Arizal said that Paro called, remember, what was the name that Paro gave Yosef HaTzadik? What did Paro call Yosef HaTzadik? No? Sofnas Paneach, right? The one who reveals secrets, he interprets dreams. He was called Sofnas Paneach. So the Arizal said, Sofnas is the word Safun, which means hidden. It's hidden like a Be'afikomen, right? Safun. It means that which is hidden. Sofnas, and Paneach, he says, is the exact gematria of the name Yitzchak. So Sofnas Paneach means Safun bo, there is hidden within him Yitzchak Avinu. Right? Paneach, Pei Ayin Nun Ches is the gematria Yitzchak, equals numerically the word Yitzchak. Sofnas Paneach means, the Arizal said, hidden in him is Yitzchak. This was something that certainly Paro never intended. Paro never knew about the gematrias, and Paro wasn't thinking about, he didn't know about Yitzchak's neshama in Yosef HaTzadik. But again, we see that the name is something which foretells what's going to be the life of that child in the future. Therefore, many people are wondering, does that in effect mean that in some way that the free choice is being tampered with? What's going to happen here with the free choice of this baby, of this child? If the name on some level is, if the parents already on some level are making a decision about the future of this child by giving such a name, and if you go to certain tzaddikim, I'll tell you, there was a remarkable maisa that happened to a relative of a friend of mine, and this has already been circulating for some years. I heard this around 17, 18 years ago from a good friend of mine whose relative was involved. There was a certain family that was close to the great tzaddik, the Rimnitzer Rebbe. Some of you remember the Rimnitzer Rebbe. It wasn't so long ago that he passed away. He was a person with unbelievable eyes. I mean, it's only a short time ago that he passed away. I was zeichet to see him twice. So there was a family that was close to the Rimnitzer. This man who was close to the Rebbe, his daughter was going out with a young man for quite a while, and she was already losing her interest in the shidduch. The girl wasn't so interested in the shidduch anymore. But the father wanted them to go. Wanted to go to the Rebbe, and to go that the father and the daughter should go with the names of her and this young man to the Rebbe to see whether or not it's a good shidduch. So they went to the Rimnitzer, and the Rimnitzer looked at the names, her name and the boy's name. and said that it's a gewaldige shidduch, it's mamash zivig, it's a very, very strong match, and to go ahead with the chasna. So the father was delighted. They come home, and she's crying that she doesn't want to marry him. And the father gets very, very upset. That how could you? The Rebbe said that he was a strong believer, and he goes, I don't care, Rebbe, no Rebbe, I'm not marrying him. It's not for me. And she refused. She absolutely refused. So she was for quite a few years, 3 or 4 years, she went out and wasn't working out. And Baruch Hashem, eventually she met her Zivig that had the exact same name. The Zivig had the exact same name. And the parents, both of them, the exact same names. Not just the girl. Not just the all four with the exact same names. Which is a hafdika thing. And they went and they told the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, oh, this is taka what I... I'm sorry, you know, sorry. You know, okay, good. But he's like, he saw it. When he saw the names, he said, this is it. I was like, he looked at these names, and this was it. But, you know, it's a good thing. All right, so she was a strong-willed girl. But in the end, such an unbelievable zivig, the way that it worked out. So one would think that the names... on some level, that the names are machriach, that they are forcing a particular nature into the child. You go to a tzaddik, the tzaddik will say, and we'll talk about that in the end of asking somebody about names. You go to the tzaddik will say, this doesn't look to me like this isn't a good name for this child. So you say, what do you mean? It's a Jewish name. It's not for this child. So what does this mean? And how does it affect, how much of an effect does it have upon the future of the child? So the answer to that is, and we're going to learn more about this, but the answer to that is that the name does not, God forbid, force the child to become this or to become that. Just as I mentioned before, that Rachav had the free choice to become the most destructive person in the world. And for many years of her life, she was a very destructive, self-destructive person. And that's when the letters were spelling things that were wrong. It's the same letters of her name, Rachav, meant things that were disgusting, which I only mentioned a little bit, but there are even more horrible things that are contained in that. And all the name means is that that she was predisposed. There's a hachana. This is how the Svarim explained. We're going to learn a little bit inside. The name that the person has means that there is that by virtue of this name, which is something that has descended from the high world into the mouths of those parents, it means that that child is certainly inclined towards certain characteristics and certain traits that are hidden, that are contained in that name. And al pi rov, generally speaking, if things follow a certain peaceful course, generally speaking, there will be those qualities, those characteristics that will emerge in the child by virtue of the name. Now we're going to talk about what influence does it have if that name was of a parent or grandparent, and the nature of that parent or grandparent. What kind of a person was the grandparent who you're naming this child after? We'll talk about that more. But generally speaking, all things going smoothly, there definitely will be a very obvious and apparent predisposition that affects the life of that child by virtue of the name. Now you all have the page with the dots, with the nekudas.
Rabbi, you called the Yiddish names too, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, Yiddish names, and not only that, Yiddish, Hebrew, and by Sephardic Jews, there are certain names that were used that were Arabic also, which we'll talk about as well. Yeah, I have a couple more here. Yeah, oh, there are a bunch more. Yeah, with the Nakudas and the second one. The page that you have in front of you, thank you. The page with the Nakudas, with the vowels, with the dots, That's actually from the great and holy sefer, the Noam Elimelech, by the Rabbi Elimelech from Lezhensk, one of the most basic Hasidic Sfarim. And by the way, just looking at the page, you'll notice that there are asterisks everywhere. Do you see? All over the place. The Rabbi Elimelech made those asterisks, and all editions have those. There was one person in Israel who removed them, and nobody bought the Svarim. The Rebbe Elimelech had some mysterious intent. All of those places where there were asterisks were made by the Rebbe Elimelech, and nobody knows why. that he put those there. But they've been preserved in all of the editions, except one that came out in Eretz Yisrael around 20 years ago, and you can't even get any more. But otherwise, all of the editions of the Noam Elimelech have those asterisks. This is considered to be a very, very remarkable sefer, and just having it in the house is believed to have great protective powers. So this is the Noam Elimelech in Parshas Bamidbar. So the Rebbe, look where it says Se'uas on the right side. You see where it says Se'uas Rosh Bnei Yisrael, right? Se'uas Rosh Bnei Yisrael l'mishpachosam. So you know that at the beginning of Bamidbar, the families, the Jews are, a census is taken, and the Jewish people are counted based upon the names of their families, right? That's the whole long, all those long lists at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. So the Rebbe Elimelech writes the following. Nearly, this is really a remarkable thing, and we're just going to learn it on a very basic level, but you'll get a taste of something that's very much out there, so you'll be able to refer to it in the future. Nearly, it seems to me, the Rebbe says, Dihine ye sholosh madregos hagormim la'odim sheyi yetzadik. He says, it seems to me that there are three causes, three potential levels, he says, are causes that one will become a tzaddik, that a person can become a tzaddik. Aleph, the first, mitzad ha-gilgal. This person in an earlier life was a great tzaddik, in an earlier lifetime. Shahayat tzaddik be-gilgal rishon. He was a tzaddik in an earlier life. Umach mezeh, and because of that, nokel lo lios tzaddik gam'ata. It is easier for this person to be a tzaddik in this life as well. Sometimes you see a kid that, like, you know, you don't understand, in the same house. You'll see one kid that's... you know, gives you a ride for your money. And the other kid, it's like everything is, yes, mommy, fine, daddy. You know, it's a pella. That, you know, and I always said this to my mother, because my mother always has certain comments about how come, you know, if you're going to do this, how come it's going to affect the kids this way, that way. But I say, but ma, look, in the same house, Kanai and Ahara, they're all so different. And they're all being raised in the same crazy way. And they're all, Baruch Hashem, each one has, you know, his or her own path. So there's something from before, and it's not so poshut. Certainly parenting makes a huge difference, but there's something that's there from before. None of us are here for the first time. We've all been here before. So the Rebbe Elimelech says, so somebody who was at tzaddik in his first, an earlier Gilgal, it will be easier. He's inclined towards righteousness, towards tzidkus in this life as well. That's the first reason that a person would be at tzaddik. Beis. Even if it's not a question of a transmigrated soul, of a Gilgal, but it could be that in the merit of his ancestors, who are still pulling for him from the higher world, in the merit of his ancestors, and because of their schus, their great merit, they honor the parents and ancestors in the higher world, the Pamali Shamala, Shayu b'neim tzaddikim, and therefore there is divine assistance and direction and additional help out of covet, out of respect to the holy ancestors, that these children should also be tzaddikim. Gimel, machmes shahashem is baruch hu, because Hashem, gozar b'briyas ha'olam, listen to this amazing thing he says. Hashem decreed b'briyas ha'olam, at the time of creation, Shiyehe kach v'kach shemos Reuven, v'kach v'kach shemos Shimon. Hashem decreed at the time of creation that until the end of time there will be a certain amount of souls who have the name Reuven, and a certain amount who have Shimon, and so on with all the names. There is a limited amount. There's a certain amount that name, that there are people who were decreed to have that name. There are very, very remarkable things on this subject. We'll talk more about later on. How come there are certain names of great tzaddikim that kemat are not being used? There are names of shvatim that are hardly used. Right? How many Ashkenazim do you know with the name God? Svardim you have much more. But Ashkenazim? God? There are a few. There was a famous Gera Chassid in Yerushalayim, in Tel Aviv, Reb Gidl. It was Gidl was God. There are very few Ashkenazim with the name God. I have two students over the years with the name Zilpa. How many Ashkenazim have the name Zilpa? What an amazing person, what an amazing name, right? And there are other names. If you look in the whole Gemara, you don't see the name Moshe being used. Avraham. And we'll talk about how could that be? There are certain names that are used many, many times, and there are certain names that are much less frequently used. The Rebbe Elimelech says that at the time of creation, Hashem decreed how many times the name Reuven will be used in the world, how many times the name Shimon, and so on. Va'ata, and now, k'shenizgal gal eza odom ba'olam, when this neshama has materialized, has descended into the world, v'noisnim lo shem b'shem tzaddik echad, and he has given the name, and that's the same name as a tzaddik or a tzaddikus, right? It's a holy name. That's why, in general, you're in much safer territory when you use old names instead of the new ones that they're coming up with all the time. We'll talk more about that later on. It's much, much safer territory, especially since some of the new names have sources that are not particularly holy that are being used. There's a friend of mine who's a Mael, and he began in Eretz Yisrael giving brisen, and he was at a bris, a non-religious family, and they wanted to call it the bris, the baby, Nimrod. Now, you know, that's the parashat's coming up. He wasn't the, you know, it's like calling your kid Mussolini or something. It's what kind of, you know, it's terrible. Osama. What kind of a name is that, you know, for a Yiddish kid? So my friend said, he went, mm-mm. He was saying to me, he said, mm-mm. So they said, Nimrod. And he said, he wouldn't go on with the, he says, I'm not doing it. No. And they just yelled at him, and some guy got up, then he read it, and they, you know, they threw the moral out. And they read the name, and they called the child Nimrod. It's a pachad to call it a child. It's the name of a Rasha, a name of a wicked person, right? It's a pachad to have such a name. We're all worried about children, that children shouldn't rebel. Nimrod means rebellious. Mered, the name itself means to rebel. So it's just an unfair start, you know, in the world to give a child such a name. And there are other names too. We'll talk more about that later on. So he says that when you use this name, he says, even though it could be that the Zayda's name was Shimon or Reuven, or it could be that the grandmother, you know, was, you're naming after Sarah or Rachel, right? There was a mother, a grandmother was Sarah or Rachel, whatever. When you're giving that name, then what's happening is, the Rabbi Elimel says, V'nosn lo shem b'shem tzadik echad, shahir kvar b'olam, ze gorim l'ish halozeh, shiyad gam kein tzadik. That causes and that helps that child grow into a tzaddik along the lines whose neshama, we're going to learn much more about this, whose soul is very much connected to the soul of the tzaddik or tzaddikus after whom the person was named. Therefore, we're going to have to discuss this as well. The question of naming after, especially with Bali Tshuva, naming after a parent who was not observant, or a grandparent who was not, usually great-grandparents were mostly observant, but parents or grandparents who were non-observant, who were mechalel Shabbos, who didn't eat kosher. So we're going to have to talk about that, right? Can that have any negative influence upon the child to name after a person who was not observant? We're going to talk a lot about that in Mitzvah Shem. So, Zed Garim Leisha Lazeshi Agam Ken Tzadik Machmashin is Oira Ha'or Shal Hatzadik Shehuba Olam Ha'elyon. The Rabbi Elimelech says that when you give the name of that Tzadik, then the energy and the koach of that Tzadik is awakened in the higher world and influences and is infused on some level into that child, and helps the child develop into a tzaddik. V'achiluk sheben hatzaddik shu machmes gilgal harishon. He says achiluk sheben hatzaddik shu machmes gilgal harishon. Now, what's the difference between these types of tzaddikim? Again, so we have one type of a tzaddik. This is one type of a tzaddik who is a tzaddik because he was originally in an earlier life. He was a tzaddik, and now it's the second time around, and it's easier for him. Uven had tzaddik shumachmes chus avoysev. What's the difference between these two types of tzaddikim? The one who was a gilgal in the last, he was a tzaddik in his last life, or the other type, the second type that the Rebbe said, somebody whose ancestors, because it was the chus of his ancestors, so it's easier for him to be a tzaddik in this world. So he says hukach. This is the we don't really have to do this part, but I thought it's chaval not to finish it. The main thing we just did, but I wanted to which I think we should just finish this. He says hukach. This is the main difference. Shatzadik machmes gilgal harishon. He says the one who was a tzaddik because he was a tzaddik in a previous life, nen mimenu eitza, he's able to give much advice and able to influence many, many more people. Machmes, he says, nen mimenu eitza machmes shahaya kvar ba'olam ha'elyon. Why? Rabbi Elimelech said, because he was already in the higher world. He already was in this world as a tzaddik, returned to the world of truth, and then descended back into this world, and because of that, because he was a tzaddik in an earlier life, he was privileged to be able to know what he was going to be, what was going to be with him in his future life, which in his next life. You see, according to the Mekubalim, when a person was a tzaddik in this world and he dies, then he is allowed access to certain files and amazing things that other people do not see, and do not have, other souls do not have access to in that world. So when this person comes back into the world, he already had a very strong preview of what needs to be done. And therefore he has a greater and deeper understanding of how other people can be helped as well. So it says, he has the ability to give eitzes, to give advice to people, to help people. However, the tzaddik was a tzaddik because of his ancestors, not because he was a tzaddik in his last life, but because of his ancestors. So he might not necessarily have that, because in his earlier life he might not necessarily have been a tzaddik. The next column on top. And this is what David HaMelech said. That Hashem, the way the Rebbe HaMelech was explaining this is that he was davening, he was davening, Hashem, help me to be a tzaddik, of Madrega Zulias Nenim Menu Eitzah, that I should be on a level that what? That at least, that I should be on a level where I would be able to give good advice and help many Jews. Atzoscha Tancheini, that I should put me in the path of being able to help other Jews and give good eitzes. And then what's the second part of the pasuk? That if I can't be a person who's coming back to this world, that I was a tzaddik and I'm coming back again as a tzaddik, then at least the second part of the pasuk says, v'acha kovod tikocheini. That at least it should be, if not that, then at least help me in this world, in my life, because of the kovod of my holy ancestors. To be mechabed my ancestors. Well, kol panim, he says, machmes kovod avoysa. V'zo se'uris rosh b'nei Yisrael. That's why it says the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, lift up the heads, raise the heads of the Jewish people by the names of their families. Hashem is baruch baruch hu amal Moshe Rabbeinu ala v'shom. That Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, lahalas is kol b'nei Yisrael. Lift up, raise, inspire, teach the Jewish people, each, how? Kol echad lefi madrigoso, each according to his own level. Aleph, one, l'mishpachosam, his family, which means, haini madrigas tzadik mach meschusu kovar avaysav. L'mishpachosam means that you have to, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have the unbelievable job of recognizing those Jews in this world who their schusim come as a result of what? Not so much of their own, but lemishpachosam, because of the mishpacha that they come from, the family, the ancestors. Beis, the mispar shemos, the names, the number of names. You hear this? This is Ruach HaKodesh. The mispar shemos. Now you remember what he said about the number of names? That Hashem allots each name in the world a certain number. There's a certain amount of Reuvens and Shimons that are going to be in the world. So that's why it says in the pasuk, count the Jewish people by their families. That means the schus avos, the merits of their ancestors. Then the second thing is b'mispar shemos, by the numbers of their names. Kanal, that means as we just said. And three, ligul gulosam, which literally means by their head count, by the skulls, right? By the ligul gulosam, hainu tzadik aide gilgul rishon, which the Rebbe Lamel says is hinting ligul gulosam by those who had tzaddikim in their earlier gilguls. Shayagam ken tzaddik, be'esahi, tekal lahavin. It's not really. The Rebbe says this is easy to understand. Tekal lahavin. It's not really easy to understand. But that's what he said. This is an amazing teaching from the Rebbe Elimelech. Does anybody have the one with Rashi, the second page? I don't have one here. Could you look on maybe together? The sectors? I'm sorry. I'll give it back to you after then. So now, there's another point here. Now we see here that the inyan of a name and the influence of the name, mispar shemos b'nei Yisrael, the numbers of the names and the influence that name, when you name a child with a holy Jewish name, the influence of that name. And there's something that's special and unique, because there's a limited amount. Even though you think, why not? What do you mean? Anybody can name the kid Reuven and Shimon. It's not true. It's simply not true. Because, again, it's a matter of divine inspiration. And there are many, many people who might have named the kid Reuven, but the last second they decided to call the child something else. So there's a tremendous influence that name has over the future of the child. Therefore, the letters of the person, there should be someone who's close to you, a husband, a child, someone, a parent, who, Baruch Hashem, a lot of the parents at least call the children by the Jewish name. But to start, at least someone in your immediate life should be calling you by your Hebrew name. Someone must be calling you by your Hebrew name. So the tzaddik will study very closely the letters of the name, and there can't be any letters missing on a ksuba. There can't be any letters missing. It has to be spelled correctly. And we have many svarim and many discussions that take place among the poskim regarding the correct spelling of names, especially the Yiddish names. Any of you have Yiddish names? So the Yiddish names can often be, right, can often be confusing. For instance, the name Blima. Some people spell Blima with a hey, right? Blima can be spelled with an aleph. You spell it with an aleph? Right. So that the traditional spelling of Blima is with an aleph. So there are also part of the Yiddish, you have? Okay, have a second. Golda. So Golda can be spelled Gimel, like Golda Meir spelled it in the Hebrew. Gimel Vav Lamed Dalet Hey, whereas in the Svarim it's spelled Gimel Aleph Lamed Dalet Aleph. Golda. It's a Yiddish name. Sometimes with one Aleph, sometimes with two. But let me explain to you, that's something else we're going to talk about. The influence of modern Hebrew over names has been destructive, not constructive. Modern Hebrew is a secular language. It's not a holy language. It's a secular language that has much holiness in it. Because obviously modern Hebrew was formed from the Hebrew of Tanakh and the Mishnah. However, there are many, many things that took place in modern-day Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, in the usage of Hebrew, that does not come from a holy source. And therefore, the transformation of names from the original spelling, the original usage, into more modern Israeli forms is extremely questionable. And I'm not saying that it's... We're going to learn about this. I'm not saying that if you have such a thing that means, God forbid, like this, I think, oh no, it says Golda, my ksuba with a hey. You know, now what does it mean? You know, and maybe that's why my husband and I had this argument last week or something. So, that's not what I'm saying. And there definitely is, thank God, because a lot of the Svardim have long ancient traditions of spelling some of these names. Well, they never gave the name Golda by the Svardim. But they have names that are spelled in different ways than we spell them, and they're acceptable, as just as ours are acceptable, so sometimes we can cross over a little bit with the Svardim and Ashkenaz. We'll talk more about that. But generally speaking, the names should be preserved in their ancient spellings, even the Yiddish names. We're going to talk a lot about this, not now, probably the third shiur, about what's this whole business with Yiddish names. And then you have a name like Alexander, which is, that was named after Alexander, that started with Alexander the Great. Right. So what kind of name is Alexander? And then, all the Yiddish names, that what kind of names anyway? What do you mean, wolf? What's so great about a wolf? And, you know, Dov Bear. So Bear, right? All these names of animals, and even animals that we'll see that are not kosher animals. You know, so how did this happen? Where did this all begin? And so on. So we're going to talk about this, but the spellings of the names are very, very important. You want to... Yeah.
Is there any Indian that refers to naming one child for two different
parents? Oh, we're going to talk about that. All right, we're going to talk about that. This is a subject of tremendous, tremendous, it could be tremendous tension in a family. Naming, so you want to make everybody happy. So we call, you know, the child Sarah Rivka Rachel Leah. So there was one, you know, different grandmothers, and so we give all the names, and this way nobody's happy, guaranteed, because each one of the grandparents wanted an exclusive, right? But very often this is done. This has become common practice that the name is given for two family members or two tzaddikim, whatever, two people. Now we're going to talk about that. Quite a bit. Let me just mention, because it's already late, so I'll just tell you an interesting story. We'll end with this story, because to begin with the Mori Naim, we'll start next time. An interesting story, the one who wrote this, the Noam Elimelech, the Rebbe Elimelech from Lezhensk. Right? He had one name, Elimelech. They call him the Rebbe Elimelech, right? So, he had a relative, his nephew, was the famous tzaddik, the author of the Sefer B'nai Yisoscha. I'm sure many of you heard of the B'nai Yisoscha. The name of the Bnei Yisoscha was Tzvi Elimelech. They didn't call him, they used to call him Hirsch Meilech. But Tzvi Elimelech was the author, Tzvi Elimelech Shapira was the name of the Bnei Yisoscha. His mother, the Bnei Yisoscha's mother, who was a niece of the Rabbi Elimelech, the Bnei Yisoscha, his mother did not have, for a while, did not have any children. And she went to the Rabbi Elimelech for a bracha. And the Rabbi Elimelech said that you're going to have a child in a year, and you should name him Elimelech, which was odd. And it made everybody uncomfortable because it had some, there was something foreboding about the Rebbe passing on. Ashkenazim do not name after living people, right? So the fact that, and she was very nervous about that, but she wouldn't argue. He said, to call your child Elimelech, which is his name. Besides, there are other people that have the name Elimelech, so you know, you can give the name Elimelech. So she, when she had the child, there were two things that were bothering her. One was that she had somebody to name after. And she also was nervous about just calling Elimelech because her illustrious uncle, the name Elimelech, was still alive. He was not well, but he was alive. So because of that, she did not give it the bris Elimelech. She gave Tzvi Elimelech. She gave two names. She added on from her, from the family, the name Tzvi, and Elimelech, the Rebbe Elimelech. So that was the Meir Soscha. Baruch Hashem, he did very well for himself, right? But when she came, she came with the baby to give, to tell the Rebbe. She came, it was quite some distance. She went to the Naim Elimelech to bring the good news that, of the baby and the bris and so on. And when she walked in, so the Rebbe Elimelech stood up and looked at the child, and he was shining. And he said, he's taka. She didn't say a word yet. He said, he's taka, a big tzaddik. He's taka a big tzaddik. Abba a melech he's not going to be. Meaning, he's not going to be Elimelech. He's not going to be Elimelech. In other words, you botched up. With the Tzvi, you botched it up. I want, in other words, and he died a short time after. The Rebbe Elimelech was trying to give over his entire being to that child and had to stay just Elimelech. And she gave the name Tzvi Elimelech, and he said he's a gewaldig tzaddik and he'll bring much light to the world, but a Melech he's not going to be. So, halavai should be, all Yiddish kinder should be like Tzvi Elimelech. But anyway, so the Chassidim, that's a famous story among the Chassidim, and that became like a no-no among the Chassidim because of the famous Meister of the Hirsch Meilech with the Bnei Soscha not to mix names. We'll see, we're going to learn Mitzvah Shem, that that's not something that is necessarily agreed upon by the Poskim or even the Mukubalim. What happened with the Rebbe Elimelech is that that tzaddik had something in mind. That doesn't mean it's for everybody. We'll talk about it, right? He had something in mind, the Rebbe Elimelech. He wanted to have the child continue. And maybe that was a unique particular situation, even though by the Chassidim they're very careful in general. Many Chassidim are careful about that, about mixing. Oh, you see by the Chassidim that they'll do it, but not as commonly done by the non-Chassidim. Yes, sure. What? Right. We're gonna talk about that. If you want that neshama, it's gotta be all the names. And we're gonna talk about that. It's part of the name is not the entire person. But we're gonna learn all these things. Yes. Also, very good question. Yeah, we all have crazy nicknames and stuff for kids, and we call each other by nicknames. The subject of nicknames itself is an interesting subject. That's interesting, and we'll talk more about it. It's okay. Aleph, it's best if it have some of the letters of the Hebrew name in it. Lamashal. Racheli. Rachel, you know. What? Tanchum? Yeah. That's a beautiful name. Tanchum Ruven, yeah. Okay. So it has Oisius of the name. So that's very good that it has Oisius. It's very good if the nicknames have Oisius instead of like, monkey or something, I don't know. But if it has the Oisius of it, if it has the letters, some letters of the name, it's much, much healthier for the kid. But once in a while, not just when you're angry, but once in a while you should call him Tanchum Ruven. He should be called by his full name. He should be called. Now I'm very careful with the children, even though I call them different nicknames with their names in them. I call them different nicknames, but I'm very makpid, especially in Shabbos, to try to call them by their names, and by all their names, not just the first name, but to call them by their names. And that's how I was brought up, even though my name is Moshe, but my name is really Chaim Moshe. And it's funny, I don't think of myself as a Chaim, because my grandfather, who I never met, was killed, but my grandfather was Chaim Moshe. My father said they called him Moshe, so you're going to be Chaim Moshe, we're calling you Moshe. That's how they did. That's how we had it, and that's how you're going to do it. So I don't think, but Lemaisa, my father was always careful, I think at least once a day, but certainly on Shabbos, to call me Chaim Moshe. And he said that's how it was in his house as well. That's how he grew up hearing that. And we'll talk a lot about these. These are very important questions and interesting questions that Mr. Shem will get to next time. If you could hold on to the Mo'ori Naim and bring it back next time, that the page, the second page, so we'll begin with that.